Boker Tov.
Shalom Lechem.
Shalom Lechai. Tov. We'll pick up today at Lesson 8. Hopefully you haven't forgotten everything. So Lesson 8 is entitled Previous and Future Action. The last time we met, we looked at the introduction to Lesson 8. So I suggested that you have a glance over that last night, if you have a chance to do that. And then part of that introduction suggested that you review Lesson 4. And in Lesson 4, you learned about two different forms of the verb. And we've seen that there are three forms that the verb takes. The perfective form, katal, he killed. So something viewed as a completed action. There is the imperfective, yiktol, he kills or he will kill or he was killing, which views action as incomplete. And then the continued narrative form, vayiktol, then he killed, which details the next event in a sequence of actions in a narrative. And those are the three forms that the verb takes. And in narrative, we see primarily just a sequence of this vayiktol form, this continued narrative form of the verb. And the perfective and the continued narrative forms of the verb were given in Lesson 4. That's where they were covered. And the perfective forms were summarized on page 46 in a table halfway down the page. So I'll just read through that to refresh your memory. Beginning, katalti, I killed. So first common singular perfective. Katalti, katalta, katalt. Those are both you killed, first masculine and then feminine, singular. Katal, he killed. Katala, she killed. Katalnu, we killed. Kataltem and katalten. That's both you killed, plural, first masculine, then singular. And finally, katalu. Katalu, third common, plural, they killed. And then through the chapter, we were introduced to the continued narrative forms of the verb as we work through that. Okay, now learning these different forms of the verb, this is all what we call grammar. Learning what the form of the verb looks like when it's first person singular, perfective, or third person plural, imperfective. Putting this together and forming sequence of words, making them up into sentences, is covered under syntax. And normally, you wouldn't really tackle much syntax until you get to second year, but because this book takes a different approach, we're learning syntax as we go along. And that's what we're going to do now we get to Lesson 8. So this assumes that you know the difference between perfective and imperfective and continued narrative forms of the verb. And this chapter will now look at, well, what happens if you want to talk about multiple actions happening and you put these different forms together, and so you'll have a sentence in which you might have some perfective and imperfective forms of the verb together in the same sentence, or continued narrative forms and perfective forms in the same sentence. So that's what we're going to be learning today, is syntax. And we're introduced to a few examples here at the top of the page. Yishlach v'lakach. Yishlach v'lakach. He will send and take. So the first verb there is an imperfective form, yishlach. And you may remember that they typically take a prefix. Usually that's what tends to characterize them. And then we have the second word is a vav plus lakach, which is a perfective form of the verb. And one of the things we'll learn in this chapter is how do we understand the time reference of those two things. Or another example, shalach oto vayikach. Shalach oto vayikach. In this case, we start with a perfective form. And then we have oto, a direct object marker with a suffix, o, third singular masculine. And then vayikach, continued narrative form of the verb. So how does that syntax work? He translates here as he sent him and he took. Then third example, vayishlach ota vehu lakach. Vayishlach ota Vehu lakach. So there we begin with a continued narrative form of the verb. Then we have ota, a direct object marker with pronominal suffix, third feminine singular. Then he sent her. Then we have vehu, a vav plus who is a demonstrative pronoun. Remember, who is he and he is she, so who is he? And he, lakak, then we have a perfective form of the verb. So that he translates here as, then he's, and he sent her after he had taken, or we might also translate it, then he sent her, pause, now he had taken. So we'll learn about that. And then finally, yishlak v'lakak, the example that we've had at the top of the page. He will send and take a imperfect followed by a imperfective followed by a perfective. So those are the different ways in which these verbs can be put together, different aspects of the verb all in the same sentence. Yes?
So continued narrative can be perfective or imperfective, okay? Just continue.
It always views the action as taking place in the past, and it just it views it as being it's the next thing that happened in a sequential action. So normally in a narrative, what you'll get is just a whole string of these continued narrative forms of the verb. But then sometimes you'll get a perfective or an imperfective, and then you usually have to ask, now why do we get that? What is the narrator? He's telling us something different here. And every time we don't get a, pretty much say every time you don't get a continued narrative form, you get a perfective or an imperfective, you have to ask why, because it's something unusual. And normally the way we tell a story, if you're doing it sort of really colloquially, where it's that then I did this, then he did that, then she did this. Now, she had already done something, so at that point you've taken a break in your narrative and are making a little sort of insertion into that. So Hebrew works rather similarly to that. And this is a point that older grammar books struggle with, trying to understand this, fortunately. It's really only the last 20 years that we've come to a good understanding of how all this really works in Hebrew. Okay, well, before we launch into learning about these different possibilities, we have some words in section one. So, left-hand column, shalach. Shalach, he sent. And it can then also be used for he stretched out in the sense of he sent out his hand. So meaning he stretched out his hand. Halach. Halach, he went, he came. It's sort of to go along. And whether you view that as he went or he came depends upon the position, the point you're standing in as the observer. Allah. Allah, he went up or he came up. And again, Hebrew... English distinguishes between come and go. Hebrew doesn't. It distinguishes between entering and exiting and things like that. Yarad. Yarad, he went down or he came down. Yatsa. Yatsa, he went out, he came out. Radaf. Radaf, he pursued. Shav. Shav, he returned. Ba. Ba, he came. Kara. Kara, this has a wide range of meanings. He called. He preached in the sense of he proclaimed. He read aloud. Then we have kara le. Kara le, where the le there, that lamed, is prefixed to the next word. It's a preposition. And that means to call to, in the sense of to summon somebody, or also means to name somebody. Yada. Yada, he knew. Middle column, we have this inseparable preposition, gets joined to a word, this lamed, l, meaning towards or to. Then l. L, to or into. Preposition, another preposition, al, upon or against, al. B. Inseparable preposition meaning in, into, or with. Lifne. Lifne, in front of or before. And its converse, achare. Achare, after or behind. Another preposition, min. Min, meaning from. and that often gets joined to another word, and the nun disappears, gets assimilated into the first letter of the word that it's joined to. Sham, sham, there. Misham, misham, from there. So we see there how the min, the nun of the min, has been assimilated into the sheen of the sham and is left, and its only remaining evidence is the dagesh in the sheen. And its converse, shama, shama, to there or there, where that hay on the end, the comet's hay, is what we call a directional hay, indicates direction to that place. Lakach, lakach, he took. Yashav, yashav, he sat or he dwelt. Asa, asa, he did. Bait, bait, meaning a house or a household or a family. Eved, eved, servant or slave. And in a noun like that, where we get two sigols, the accent is on the first syllable. Usually the accent will be on the last syllable of a Hebrew word. Et, et is the, indicates a direct object. And you add a personal suffix onto the end of it. So we have oto, oto, him, oti, ti, me, etchem, etchem, you, masculine, plural, and otam, otam, them. So that's et with those pronominal suffixes on the end. And for the verbs in this list, they're all given in the perfective form, third masculine singular. So that's when you talk about the form of a verb, that's sort of the default, that's the plain vanilla form, as it were, that we use in talking about it. Third masculine singular perfective. Okay, a little chart at the bottom showing how these prepositions work. So we have a house, and you can be al, al, on the house, or b, b, in the house, lifne, in front of the house. You can be moving el or l towards the house, or you can be moving min away from the house. And we have a table, you can be al, on the table, or tachat, tachat, under the table. And then we have a place, sham, and you can move towards that place, shama, and you can move away from that place, misham, misham. So helpful diagram to show how these prepositions work. And several lessons ago, we had another diagram showing how some of the prepositions worked as well.
Yes, John.
That doubles the sheen, yes, yes. So it would be two syllables, the first syllable mish, and then the second syllable sham, with that sheen doubled. And it's doubled because the nun has disappeared into it, being assimilated into it, we say. Nun is one of these, what we call a weak letter, that readily disappears. Okay, top of page 90. Dobson draws to our attention Isaiah 37:28 and tells us to notice the forms of the verb that we have here. Veshivtecha, vetzetecha, uvoecha, yadati. Okay, together. Veshivtecha, vetzetecha, uvoecha, yadati. Now, those first three words are forms that you haven't met before. The last one, hopefully you might recognize, yadati. It's the verb yada, and that's first common singular perfective. So remember, katalti would be for the verb katal, first singular. So yadati, I know. And then these other three, well, the odd thing about these other three forms of the verb is they have, for a start, they have a pronominal suffix on the end. Right, the ka, which we've never seen that put on a verb before. We've seen that put on a noun. Okay, and here this is a form of the verb where the verb is essentially functioning like a noun, and we're going to learn more a bit about that a bit later. But we call this, it's an infinitive, and it turns the verb into what we say is a verbal noun. And as you're sitting down, so yashav is to sit down, or to settle. The form of the verb here, shevet, is the action of sitting down. So it's the sitting down viewed as an entity, where really it becomes a noun, and then you can add a pronominal suffix onto it. So it's you're sitting down, and then the zetaka from the verb yatsa, to go out. This zet is the infinitive of that. So viewing the going out now as an entity, as a noun, you're going out. And then voaka, the opposite of that, from bo, to enter, and you're entering. I know. Okay, so that's a treat that will await us in the near future, is to learn about this infinitive. And it's a little hard to get your hands around because our English word verbs don't do this. They don't behave this way.
So the ka would be your?
The ka is your, yep. So your second masculine singular. And here put on to a verb, but it's a verb that really behaves as a noun. And it's a very concise, makes a very compact combined word that usually has to be translated into English with about four or five different words to render it out. So you're sitting down, well, your action of sitting down.
That's all. Okay.
It would be a gerund, yes. Yes.
So
a gerund. So gerund would be your sitting. Pretty good for those of you who took enough grammar and learned gerunds. Okay, section 2. We read about David the Avdo, David and his servant. So let's go around and do some reading. And we'll start with Melody. And if you can read through the first sof pasuk, that's through the double colon that marks the end of a sentence. So in this case, that'll be 4 lines. Good. Bayom hahu halak David min habayit vayikra le'avdo vayetze ha'eved vayavo el David lifnei Beito. So we begin Bayom Hahu, on that day. So that sets the time context for this. Halak David, we have a perfective form of the verb. David went. Min Habayit, from the house. So Habayit there has the article on it, ha. Vayikra. So now we have a continued narrative form of the verb. We've launched a story. Now we're carrying on with this narrative. Vayikra, and it's kara le, so he summoned his servant, avdo. Vayetze, another continued narrative form of the verb. Then the servant came out. Vayavo, the next event in the narrative. And he came, El David, to David. So Yatsa and then Yavo. Yatsa, he goes out from wherever he was in his servant's house. And Yavo, he now enters into where David is. Lifnei Beito, in front of his house. Joyce? Good. Then we got a sof pasuk, so that's the end of the sentence. Vayudaber elav hamelek, vayomer leik liricho, vayered shama, vayeshev sham. Vayudaber, so next event in this continued narrative form. Then, and the subject is hamelek, then the king spoke elav to him. Vayomer, and he said, another continued narrative. And that form, vayomer, is probably, it's the most common form, probably of any word in the whole of the Old Testament, because Old Testament narrative is full of, he said this, then he said, then he said, then he said, then he said. So it's probably used 2,000 or 3,000 times, that particular form. And here's what he said. Lake Lyrico, go to Jericho. So lake, the imperative, masculine singular. Go to Jericho. Vayered, so now we're back to the continued narrative form. Then he went down Shama, there, the directional hey on that. Vayeshev Sham, and he stayed there. Another continued narrative form, Vayeshev. Hey, Marilyn. Good. Vayeshlach David El Avdo, Vayedaber Lo, Shuv Misham, Leveti Hayom. So Vayeshlach, continued narrative form. Then David sent El Avdo to his servant, Vayedaber Lo, and he said to him, and notice how Dobson has rendered that a little more freely as, then he sent instructions to him, which is certainly what is going on there. Shuv Misham, Shuv, another imperative, return from there, Leveti, to my house, Hayom, and Hayom is today, so it's literally the day, so Yom with the article on the front. When that is together, that means the day. Well, what day is that? Well, it's this day. So Hayom is today. Okay, John? Okay, good. Vaya'al Misham, Vayavo Bevet David. Now, Bevet David, there's that hyphen there joining the two words. So, and this is, it's not something you will yet really be able to do, but essentially you pronounce that all as one word. And you're still at the point you're sounding out syllables, but eventually you'll get to the point where you, then you just read that all as one word, and so it'll only have one accent on it. So, Bevet David. Lifnei Hamelech Vayomer Elav, or Elav, Asiti et Kol Mitzotecha. So we pick up Vaya'al, continued narrative form, next event in the narrative. Then he went up from there, Misham, Vayavo, and he came, Bevet David, into David's house, Lifnei Hamelech, before the king, or in front of the king, or in the king's presence, Vayomer, Elav, and he said to him, Asiti et kol mitzotecha, I have done, so asiti, perfective form of the verb, so I have done, he's viewing this as it's all completed, all your commandments, mitzotecha, mitzvah is a commandment, mitzvot is the plural. Okay? We're now getting very, very close to a piece of narrative straight out of the Hebrew Bible, and this is be quite typical how it works. The narrative is conveyed by a whole series of string of continued narrative forms of the verb. We had a time marker at the beginning to tell us when this happened, by Yom Hahu, and then we had bits of speech embedded into the narrative. So we're getting pretty close here to being able to read straight out of the Hebrew Bible. Okay, reading 2, Beit Shalach Avraham et Avdo Mitzrayma. So Abram sent his servant to Egypt. So Mitzrayim is Egypt, Mitzrayma to Egypt. The directional hey on it. Sean? Right, so Vayikra Avraham le'avdo hagadol asher al beito vayishlach oto mitzrayma vayikach ha'eved asara gemalim migemalei Adonaiv, vayikach kesef b'yado vayelech mitzrayma. So this time our narrative begins with us right away with a continued narrative form of the verb, so we don't have any time marker, simply then Abraham called or summoned. So it's just presented us, we're jumping right into an ongoing narrative here. Then Abram summoned his Le'avdo, his servant, which one? His Le'avdo Hagadol, his great servant, i.e. his most important servant. And then we're told a bit more about him, that he's Asher al Beito, over his house, who was over his house, i.e. who was in charge of his household, Vayishlach Oto, and he sent him. So another continued narrative form, Mitzrayma, to Egypt. Vayikach ha'eved, so now change of subject, the subject is now ha'eved, the servant took 10 gemalim, so gamal is camel, so 10 camels, migamalei adonaiv, so migamalei is min plus gamalei is the plural, gemalim would be the plural of camels, and here it's in the construct form, so camels of, and the min is from, so camels from the camels of Adonaiv, his master. So here, min is being used sort of in this metaphorical to take some from a larger group. Vayikach, and he took kesef, silver, bayado, in his hand, i.e. he took silver with him. Vayelek Mitzrayma, and he went to Egypt. Okay, so a string of continued narrative forms of the verb, just telling us, taking us sequentially through a series of events that happened.
Where did the in his hand come from?
So, b'yado, yad is hand, or actually, and hand, it will refer to everything from the elbow down to the tip of your finger. So sometimes, and there you have to use context to decide, sometimes you would translate it as arm. Mm-hmm. So the Lord reached out with a strong arm, and it will refer to this, and then other times it's clear. Well, in this case, it's clear that no, he's holding it really in his hand.
Why is the ha in front of the gadol?
If the ha was not there, it would just be an important servant, a big servant. But in this case, it's the big servant, i.e. there's only one of them. If it was just le avdo gadol, the implication should be there's several important servants, big servants, and here he's just addressing one of them. But putting the article there makes it unique. And finally, Melody. All right, good. Vayirdefu acharayv anashim ra'im vayavo'u shama vayikahu et kol ha-kesef vayashuvu misham vayeshuvu biricho. So we continue the narrative, another continued narrative form, vayir defu, but now it's third plural. Then they pursued acharayv after him, and the subject is anashim ra'im, so evil men. No article on that, so Dobson has just implied there, taking that, well, it's some evil men. Pursued him. Vayavo'u, next event, and they came, shama, to there. Vayikahu, and they took, et kol hakesef, all the silver. So et, the direct object marker, kol, in that case, pronounced as a short O, the verb there is a short O, and you'll just have to take my word for that. The moment. It'll be a while before you learn the rules as to when that's a long A or a short O. Hakesef, the silver. Vayashuvu, then they returned Misham from there. Vayeshuvu, and they stayed Biricho in Jericho. In this case, there's no speech in this bit of narrative, but this sequence of events using continued narrative forms. Okay, section 3, top of page 91, we read, Vayishlach v'hu lachach. Vayishlach, then he sent, and then we have v'hu lachach, a pronoun with a perfective form of the verb. So this is one of the examples from the top of page 89 at the beginning of the chapter introduced. We read that in lesson 4, we saw that in a narrative of past events, the first action, A, may be expressed by a perfective form of the verb. It doesn't have to be, but it can be expressed that way, and that's what we had in reading 1 on page 90. Bayom hahu, on that day, halak, David went. So there we have a perfective form of the verb that launches us on our narrative. Then while each new action which continues and carries forward the main line of the story, continued narrative form, is usually introduced by a continued narrative form of the verb prefixed by va. So for example, bayom hasheni, on the second day, that gives us our time marker, shalach, he sent shalach et ha'eved vayikach asara gamalim. He sent the servant, and he took, that is, the servant took, 10 camels. So A there, in parentheses, indicates a completed, perfective form of the verb, and C, the continued narrative form. So that's very standard way, quite standard way for a narrative to begin. Now we shall see a sentence and verbal pattern, which is common within a narrative, when the writer wishes to link the continued action to a previous event or a background situation. So the background situation or previous event is expressed by a verb that does not stand at the beginning of its clause. Usually it follows a noun or pronoun. So we've learned so far that Hebrew, the normal word order in Hebrew is verb, subject, object, so VSO. Here we're going to find clauses in which the verb comes after a noun or a pronoun. So it's subject, verb, and then object, SVO, which is how English behaves. But it's not the normal word order for Hebrew. And so when it happens, it happens because the narrator is deliberately changing the order, and we always would then have to stop and say, now why has the narrator changed from VSO to SVO? So usually it follows a noun or pronoun, and in our first examples we use the pronouns who, meaning he, and he, meaning she. So we have Vayishlach et Habat Misham. So that's quite standard. Then he sent, and the object is et habat, the daughter, from there. And now the second clause, v'hu lakach isha. Now we have a pronoun, or really the subject, and then the verb in the perfective form, and then the object, isha. He had taken a wife. So that's viewed as a completed action, and it's a completed action that will have been completed before the verb at the beginning of the previous clause, before the vayishlach. So the lakach, the taking of this wife, had already happened before this narrative. Now in English, we then have to translate that, well, you would usually translate that with a pluperfect. So using the helper word had, he had taken. So in English, which we have a tense-based system, which has time embedded in it, he had taken is pluperfect. So it's an event that has already happened and is complete before then the next verb that you're using. Now he then has chosen, how then do you relate these two sentences together? Then he sent a daughter, he sent the daughter from there, and he had taken a wife. And Dobson has chosen to use the little conjunction for, so he's taking it as being causal. We could also say, he sent a daughter from there, maybe put in a semicolon or something, now he had taken a wife. Or we could even say he had already taken a wife, even though there isn't a little word already in there, it's implied with how it happens. Now, this little form where we get a pronoun or the subject and the verb like that, we get quite often in Hebrew narrative. So we'll encounter this a number of times. And it's as if the narrator... He's telling us the story with all these continued narrative forms of the verb. And then he turns aside and he says, as an aside, now, he had taken a wife, or he had already taken a wife. And he'll do that. It's going to be significant usually for how the story carries on, but it's he's turning off of the main storyline to give us this as a piece of background. So
this previous or background event, usually it's in the past.
Yes, well here it's in the past, yes. And when it's with a perfective form of the verb, yes, it's in the past, and it is, yeah.
Can it be with an imperfective?
There will be other times when you can have an imperfective used.
Okay.
We'll find out about those as well. But most often, when we get a off the storyline, it'll be a form like this. So subject, perfective form of the verb, and then maybe an object.
So the common pattern is it'll always be VSO, and then this subject will switch
yeah.
And then we'll go back to...
And then we'll go back to VSO, verb, subject, object. Yeah. And the first of these that we get in the Bible is in Genesis 3:1, when we get a little aside... about the serpent. Now the serpent was more crafty than all the animals, and we're given an aside. Well, actually, we get some in chapter 1, but they're behaving a little bit different, and we'll find out about those as we go through. Okay? Now we get some examples, some more examples here. Compare. A1, Vayishlach Ota Sham Vayikach Herev. Okay? Vayishlach Ota Sham Vayikach Cherev. And he sent her, so continued narrative form, there, and he took a sword. So two continued narrative forms of the verb, so just straight standard narrative. Then example two, Vayishlach Ota Misham Vahu Lakach Cherev. So Vayishlach Ota Misham, Vahu Lakach Cherev. So the first line is standard continued narrative, and he sent her from there. And then now we switch to a verb subject object form. He took, viewing this as a complete action, he took a sword, and it is really being presented as a completed action that is over and complete before the previous line. So we would translate that into English with a pluperfect. And after he had taken a sword, so Dobson here has added in the word after. There isn't a Hebrew word after there, but it's implied by the syntax. So the syntax is how we're putting words and clauses together to make larger units. We could take it also, he sent her from there, now he had already taken a sword. Almost doesn't really, no matter how you translate, as long as you understand that it's the second clause has already happened before the first, and then you have to figure out how to render that into good English. Then section B, example one, Vatelek Shama. Vateshev Sham. Vatelek Shama. Vateshev Sham. So two continued narrative forms of the verb, Vatelek Vateshev. And she went there and she lived there. Okay, and the first line, Shama, directional hey on the Sham. Both third feminine singular. Okay. And then example two, Vatelek Misham. Vahi Yashava Sham. Vatelek Misham. Vahi Yashava Sham. So the first clause, Vatelek Misham, and she went from there. And then the second clause, now we jump to a subject verb object with the subject as he, meaning she. She, Yashava, perfective form of the verb. But now viewing it as completed action before the previous line. She had been living there. So we could, again, Dobson now adds in the connector for. We could take it, and she went from there, pause. She, she had been living there, now she had been living there. However you render that in English to make it clear that the second clause is complete before the action. And obviously, when she went from there, that her action of living there is over and complete at that point. Okay? So, and then Dobson comments, the sentence is marked one, containing only verbs which mark steps or events in ongoing narrative. So these continued narrative forms of the verb. In A, it's vayishlach and vayikach, he sent and he took. In B, vatelech, vateshev, then she went, then she lived. In each instance, the verb stands first in its clause and has a prefixed va. And the continued narrative form of the verb, it can only be the first word in a clause. It has to be that. It can never occur further into the clause. It will always be the first word. A continued narrative form of the verb. It will always be the first word of a clause. Okay? And you understand what I mean by a clause. It won't necessarily be the first word of a sentence. A sentence might have lots of clauses in it. But within a clause, which can stand on its own as a syntactical unit. In the sentences marked 2, the first verb is a continued narrative form, vayishlach and vatelech, he sent and she went. But the second verb in each sentence does not stand first in its clause. It has no prefixed v and is a perfective form, lakach and yashava, he had taken and she had lived, both of which we've translated as pluperfects. In a narrative, when a verb does not stand at the beginning of its clause but has a noun or pronoun before it, we must be alert to see if it expresses a previous action or a background situation. So it sort of must be alert. It's a flag goes up whenever you see we're off the usual pattern here, and you then have to ask why. So what I do, for example, when I study a new piece of narrative, I go through and I color code it. And the first thing is I color code all the continued narrative forms of the verb. And so those are just, that's what we can think of as, it's the backbone of the narrative. And then anytime there's anything different, I code that in a different color. And then for each of those, it makes it clear, they then stand out more clearly. And then for each of those, you have to ask why. What is the narrator doing here? In that sense, when it gets a little more difficult because it's trying to, so you've observed it, so okay, it's there, then you have to now ask why, what is the narrator telling us? And that's then where the interpretation comes in. You're trying to, and there then might be disagreement between people as quite why. So that's why we must be alert. So it's a flag that goes up. So note in 2 Samuel 16:15, how there is a reference back to an event mentioned in 15:37. So in 2 Samuel 15:37, we read of Hushai's arrival as Absalom was entering the city. So Absalom here is usurping the throne from David. And David will end up having to flee. And we read, Vayavo Hushai Re'e David Ha'ir V'Avshalom Yavo Yerushalayim. Together, Vayavo Hushai Re'e David Ha'ir V'Avshalom Yavo Yerushalayim. So then he came, or he entered. So this, and the subject is Hushai, and then we're told something about Hushai, that he's a Re'e David, a friend of David. So Re'e is friend. So those of you who know Scott and Lisa Fairbanks, their eldest daughter is called Rhea, from this word, meaning friend. Friend of David, and he entered Ha'ir, the city. So then Hushai, David's friend, came to the city, or entered the city. V'Avshalom Yavo Yerushalayim. And so now we switch to a subject verb. And in this case, Yavo, now we have an imperfective form of the verb. So you asked, is it only perfective forms of the verb? Well, no, now here we get an imperfective form of the verb. And Absalom entering, But now with yavo, because it's imperfective, it's not viewed as a completed action. So we're not told this action wasn't already over by the time we had the first line, the first clause. In fact, it's being viewed as ongoing at the same time. So this is a way that the narrator is using of telling us that this action was going on at the same time as the previous one. So he's deliberately presenting us here as Absalom entering Jerusalem at the same time as Hushai, David's friend, is entering. And so in our mind's eye, we're to see them both coming in at the same time. Now, the narrator is specifically telling us this, and he wants us to see in our mind's eye that Hushai and Absalom are coming in at the same time, presumably unbeknownst, well, Hushai will probably know that Absalom is coming into the city, but this is going to be important to the dynamic of what is going to happen in the story. Okay? And if he had just had Vayavo Hushai, so the first line as it was, and then had Vayavo Avshalom, then it would just be, and then the next action was, then Absalom entered the city. And it would just be sort of sequential. But instead here it's put this way as to that these two are happening at the same time, and that's part of the dynamic of the story being presented. Yes, that is the common spelling, Yerushalayim. And it is an oddity. I talked about this last time we met, or last time or the previous time. So it's a what we call a perpetual kare, and there's a consonant missing. And we have to then automatically supply that consonant. And the consonant, the vowel, the hirek there, is put under the right-hand side of the mem, which isn't where a hirek can normally possibly go. The only vowel that can validly go under the right-hand side of a letter. So normally vowels are centered. If they're put underneath a letter, they're centered underneath. And it's only when we get a furtive patach, with a patach to the right of, that's put under the right-hand side, indicating it's pronounced before the consonant, that happens. In this case, there is a vowel missing, a consonant missing, and we have to automatically just put it in there. And so we assume that there is a yod. So we would pronounce that out as Yerushalayim. But this is how, without the yod, this is how it is always spelt in the Hebrew Bible. We read it as Yerushalayim. So in a similar way, when we see the Lord's name Yahweh, we just automatically read that as Adonai. We call it perpetual kare reading. Now in 2 Samuel 16:15, the narrator will refer back to Absalom's previous entry to Jerusalem. V'Avshalom, v'kol ha'am, ish Yisrael, bo'u, Yerushalayim. V'Avshalom, v'kol ha'am, ish Yisrael, ba'u, Yerushalayim. So we have now a subject verb ordering, and the verb now is perfective, ba'u, viewed as a completed action, because it had happened a chapter before. Absalom and all the people, ha'am, am is people, all the people, ish Israel, men of Israel, so ish there is in the singular, but it's functioning as a collective, so people, so men as a whole, Absalom and all the people, men of Israel, and here we'd have to translate this as a pluperfect, had come into Jerusalem. So he's referring back to that previous action. And then now note how 2 Samuel 17:25, so now the next chapter, refers to Amasa's appointment as something already done. Ve'et Amasa sam, Avshalom tachat Yoav. Ve'et Amasa sam, Avshalom tachat Yoav. So now here, instead of actually subject verb object, we have object, verb, subject. So it's still broken the usual pattern of having the verb first. Here, it makes the object emphatic at the beginning of the clause. Now Absalom had appointed Amasa Tachat. So Tachat we saw means under as a preposition. It can also mean in place of or instead of Joab. And San, the verb there, viewed as a completed action, translated as he had appointed him before then, whatever the continuing narrative does. And if we wanted to try and capture in English the emphasis on the direct object being put at the beginning of the sentence, we could maybe translate it something like, now it was Amasa whom Absalom had appointed in place of Joab. I think that's what Dobson is getting at here by putting Amasa in italics, as he's trying to emphasize that it's put at the beginning of the sentence. Then he comments, in these two verses, the perfective forms, ba'u, they had come, and sam, he had appointed, provide information about a previous action, which contributes to the understanding of the events of the story. Sometimes, but not often, a noun with the followed by a perfective verb indicates more or less simultaneous action. So this is where the interpretation comes in, is sometimes instead of indicating action that happened, that is viewed as completed, that happened before the continued narrative action, it actually indicates action that happens at the same time. But usually you're going to be able to figure that out from the context. So note, Baka, he wept in Genesis 45:14. So this is Joseph revealing himself to his brothers. We read, Vayevk u Binyamin Baka. Vayevk u Binyamin Baka. So Vayevk, continued narrative form, and he wept. And then, and Benjamin wept. And now we say, well, is he telling us that Benjamin had wept before? Or, no, more likely he's telling us, no, Benjamin wept at the same time. And especially here by using the same verb, first in the continued narrative form and then in the perfective form. But here's where we're making an interpretation of this and saying, no, he presents these as simultaneous actions. So we view... And he's not saying that Joseph wept and then Benjamin wept, but Joseph wept and at the same time Benjamin wept.
Why is the U there? Is it a connective?
That's a connective. It's and. He wept and Benjamin, and then we'd have to say at the same time he wept. And this we get a number of times in Genesis chapter 1. So, for example, in the first day, God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he called the light day, Vayikra Haor Yom, V'Hachoshek, and the darkness, Kara Laila, he called night. We get that same Vayikra V'Hachoshek Kara, and where they're viewed, we're to view them as simultaneous actions happening at the same time, with a continuing narrative form and then a perfective form. So that's where then you've noticed that he switches from continuing narrative to perfective form, and then you've got to ask why, what is he trying to tell? And then you use context and your understanding of the story to figure out, is it because he's telling us a pluperfect action, an action that has already happened, or telling us a simultaneous action? And this is part of the sort of the fun of narrative analysis, is trying to work that out and sort of get within the mind of the narrator. What he's telling us something, and you're trying to figure out what it is he's trying to point out to us. Okay. And the best way to learn this is just as we read narrative and practice and get our hands dirty, work figuring out narrative and the syntax of it. Okay, section 4. We encounter another form of the verb. We have yoshev, translated here as a dwelling, a staying, waiting, or sitting. Now, in section 7.7, we saw yoshev. So there with yoshev, that dot above the right arm of the sheen is doing double duty. Okay, it's both distinguishing a sheen from a seen, and it's the vowel going with yod. Yo, so it's a holom. So in lesson 7, we saw yoshev, sitting, shomer, keeping, shomeach, hearing, and holech, going. And these are participles, and the standard form of them is oe, so that vowel pattern, holom, tsere, separating the consonants. Now,
pardon? Page 90, the top, is that, you said that those are infinitives.
Those are infinitives, yes, sir. Infinitives, not participles, right.
Even though the translation looks sitting, going up on the page 90, the translation looks
like. Yes, well, they are ing words, ing words, and which to us we think of as being participles or as being gerunds. But we're going to see in Hebrew that a distinction is made. Even though both a participle and an infinitive we might think of as being ing words, they have distinct meanings and distinct uses in Hebrew. Okay, now compare. In the Aleph column, we have the perfective form of the verb, the plain vanilla form, third masculine singular, perfective. So shamar, he kept. In the Beit column, we have the participle, shomer, okay, so standard pattern, o-e, so holom, tsere, for the vowels. So shamar and shomer, he kept and keeping. Katal and kotel, katal, kotel, he killed and killing. Amad and omed, amad, omed, he stood and standing. Yashav and yoshev, yashav, yoshev, he sat and sitting. Deber and mudaber, deber, mudaber, he spoke and speaking. Now in this case, notice that we have a different pattern there. And that has to do with, we have a different pattern for the Aleph column, deber, so it doesn't have the same vowel pattern. And there's also a dagesh in the Beit. So we're going to learn that's another form of the verb. And then when we have that pattern for the verb, main verb, then we have a different form for the participle with a prefix mem. So just be alert to that. Later on, you're going to learn in quite a few lessons time why that is. Then over the right-hand side, some more. Shama and shomea. Shama, shomea. He heard and hearing. And when one of these participles ends with a guttural, either an ayin or a het, then an extra vowel gets put in, shomeyach, and it's a furtive patach, and it is pronounced before that final letter. So normally the vowel would come is pronounced after the consonant. Here it's pronounced before the consonant, and it happens only for het and ayin, shomeach. So in this case, we actually get two vowels in a row, and it's only in this unique circumstance. Halak and holek. Halak, holek. He went and going. Natan, notain. Natan, notain, he gave and giving. Asa and ose, asa, ose, he made and making. And then finally, berach and mevarech. Berach and mevarech. He mevarech. Mevarech. He blessed and blessing. And there, like the deber and mudaber, we have a prefixed mem on the for the participle. And for the perfective form, berach, there would be a dagesh in that resh, but a resh can't have a dagesh in it, so it's not there. So gutturals and resh cannot have a dagesh in them.
But you're doubling the resh?
It would be doubled if it could be doubled, but it can't be doubled, so it's not. So the words and columns, bait, are all called participles. Participles indicate action that is continued in present or in past time. So consider Vahu Yoshev Sham, and he was staying there. According to its context, it might be translated, for he is staying there, for he was staying there, while he is staying there, while he was staying there. But it's viewing the action, we're viewing the action as an ongoing activity. And then you have to use context to discern, well, is that ongoing viewed in the past or in the present? Now, when we get to an infinitive, and then often, in many, many cases, a participle is used to indicate not so much the action itself, but the one who is doing the action. So he was the one dwelling there. Whereas an infinitive, when we get to the infinitive will view the action as an entity. So the action of dwelling there, the action of doing this or of doing that, a verbal noun, yeah. Now note these examples from Genesis 24:62 and other passages. V'yitzach ba, v'hu yoshev be'eretz ha-negev. V'yitzach ba, v'hu yoshev be'eretz ha-negev. So then Isaac had come, so subject verb with a perfective verb, so that's viewed as a completed action. Vahu, and then now we get a subject and a participle. He was dwelling, was living in the land of the Negev. So the Negev is far south of Israel, the edge of the desert. Isaac had come and he was living in the Negev. So a participle there is used to indicate this ongoing state of affairs, we might say. Next example, Vayashuvu Elav Vahu Yoshev Biricho. Vayashuvu Elav Vahu Yoshev Biricho. So they returned to him, continued narrative form of the verb, Vahu Yoshev Biricho, and then we're told off the storyline, so subject verb, in this case subject participle, he was dwelling, sitting, whatever, in Jericho, and use context to figure out. Well, it's probably referring not so much that he's living in Jericho, but that he's waiting, he's staying in Jericho, just waiting for them to come back, waiting for them. And that's an ongoing state of affairs, viewed as ongoing action. And then note that in the first example, Yoshev is spelt with a vav, and in the second example, spelt without the vav. So the first one, holom vav, and the second one, just with a holom. And just same word can be spelt either way. And remember, that's because there was this transition where vav and he and yod began to be used to also indicate vowels. Next example, v'hu omed alechem. Vayokelu, Vahu omeid alehem, vayokelu. Now in this case, again, same subject, participle, object. Now he was standing alehem, beside them. He could say over them, but it's more likely al can mean over, can also mean alongside. So he was standing near them, alongside them. Vayokelu, and they ate. Now, in this case, this part is what is expressing ongoing action, and then we're to view that action as it continues to be ongoing, then as we then proceed on in the narrative with then the eight. And finally, od ze medaber v'ze ba. Od ze medaber v'ze ba. Od is still. Ze is a demonstrative pronoun. This one, so, and it's masculine, so we imply this man was still speaking. Medaber participle, so ongoing action. And then v'ze ba, and this one, ba, came. And now we jump to that now viewed as a completed action, ba, he came. So the action is speaking. So if you think of this man is speaking, and we've got ze, so you have to think, here's the narrator, he's pointing, saying this one, speaking, and that's this ongoing action. And then while this is all going on, now as a completed action, this one, ze, came in.
Actions.
Well, in this case, it's participle and then perfective. And a participle, by definition, is imperfective. Really, it's an ongoing action. Okay? And again, the best way to get a grip on these is just as we read and as we get used to seeing participles in use, you'll see how they behave. Section 5, hine, meaning behold, or something like that. Hine draws attention to the statement that follows it. There is no close equivalent in modern English. So this is difficult to translate. People are actually divided as to whether you should even translate it at all. Some would argue, don't bother translating it. The older translations would render it as behold. But newer translations don't really do that because your average person in the street doesn't use the word behold. It's not part of our regular vocabulary. Hey, or look. So we may sometimes use look, or just then, or there. But it'll happen because the narrator is our attention is being drawn to something. So look actually works quite well like that.
Not translated at all, you've lost that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's unfortunate when it doesn't get translated because it's being used deliberately and is a drawing our attention to something. So we will get a couple of examples. Vayavo ha'ish el ha'melech v'hu medaber b'veto Vayudaber el David, v'od ze mudaber, v'ze ba, v'hine, David yoshev al ha'kisei. Okay, let's read all that together. Vayavo ha'ish el ha'melech, v'hu mudaber b'veto, vayudaber el David, v'od ze mudaber V'ze ba, v'hine David yoshev al ha'kisei. So we begin normally enough, continued narrative form of the verb. Then the man came to the king. Now we turn aside off the storyline. V'hu medaber b'veto. Now he was speaking in his house. So that's viewed as an ongoing action at the time that the man came to the king. So he's been speaking in his house. Yeah. So the man came to the king, that's first, and then he's in the presence of the king, and then now he is speaking as an ongoing action. And in the course of that, he then vayudaber el David, and he spoke to David. And then so remember this action, the second clause there, this action is sort of going on. And then v'od ze medaber, and this man was still speaking. V'ze ba, and this man came in. So we'd have to help our translation, we'd add in then another So another man came in. And that's our understanding of how the ze is working. There isn't another there in the text, but that's clearly what he's implying, this and this. And while that is happening, the hene, and look, the narrator is now drawing our attention, and look, David, Yoshev, David sitting on the throne. Now, it helps to think of this in terms of how a movie would be made. And so basically, when you get a hene, it's as if now the camera zooms in, and we zoom in, and look, here's David sitting on the throne, while now you have ze and ze, this one and this one speaking, and this one enters, and here is David sitting on the throne. Now, the narrative will then unfold, and we will bear to mind, okay, for some reason, the narrator has zoomed in on David and shown us David sitting on the throne, and that's going to be an important part of understanding the narrative. So it really is unfortunate when these hines are not translated. Dobson here has rendered it as there, and there was, which is, yeah, it's a little weak. It's designed to be a little more emphatic than that. So look would work well.
In today's generation, it's got to be hey.
Hey.
They don't even say hello anymore. Hey.
And then he notes that this man and another man, so this and this. And so we add in another to make that clear. Example 2. Ha'eved ba mitzrayma v'hu lakach asara gemalim v'hine ish omed sham v'Avraham zaken v'Adonai berach et Avraham b'kol asher asa. So together, ha'eved ba mitzrayma v'hu lakach asara gemalim v'hine ish omed sham v'Avraham zaken v'Adonai berach et Avraham b'kol asher asa. So we begin subject verb with a perfective form of the verb. The servant had come Mitzrayimah to Egypt. Then off the storyline, again, we have v'hu, so subject with a perfective form of the verb. Now he had taken 10 camels. So that's being presented us as completed action before the previous sentence. So he had taken 10 camels before he went down to Egypt. V'hine, and look, here, see, ish omed sham, a man standing there with a participle. And very often, this you often have after hine is a participle. So we had that in the previous example, hine David Yoshev, and here, hine ish omed, a man standing. So this camera zooms in, draws our attention, and what it will focus on is what this person is doing as an ongoing state. So it will usually be hine, subject, participle. And then we're told, again off the storyline, v'Avraham zaken. Now Abraham was old, or had become old. He was a complete... V'Adonai Berach, and the Lord had blessed Avraham, completed action as well, in everything that he had done. So in that whole example there, we actually don't get a single continued narrative form of the verb. In one way or another, everything is presented as off the main storyline, and the narrator is being quite deliberate in doing that. Okay, section 6, and then we'll end with this. Yishlach v'lachach, he will send and take. Imperfective followed by a perfective. Note the verbs in this English sentence. He will take some silver and give you the silver and return home. When the time of the actions has been fixed in the future by he will take, a special future time form for the other verbs is not normally necessary. So you don't have to say, he will take some silver and he will give you the silver and he will return home. That the will, which in English we have to use a helping word to render this into the future, that will then covers the following two verbs, or all subsequent verbs in the sequence. We do not need to say, and he will give, and he will return, though you can if you want. It is the same in Hebrew, only more so. Once the future time has been indicated, all verbs that carry the discourse forward are normally in the simple or definite action form of the verb, the perfective. So they're in the form of the perfective, but they have their, they sort of take their lead from what's at the head of the chain, which if it's a imperfective, they're governed by that. So now compare these sentences in Hebrew and in English, noticing yikach, he will take. So imperfective, which fixes the time as future, and that all other Hebrew verbs are perfective. So, yikach kesef, v'natam lecha et ha-kesef, v'shav el beito, u verakta oto v'samachta. Okay, together. V'yikach kesef, v'natam lecha et ha-kesef, v'shav el beito, u verakta oto v'samachta. Samachta. So, yikach kesef, he will take silver. That's in the imperfective. And then we carry on with a string of perfective verbs, but all essentially referring to the same time frame as that at the head of the chain. And he will give you the silver, natan lecha et ha-kesef, and shav el beito, and return to his house, and berachta oto, and you will bless him. So even though now we've changed the person of that verb from third singular to now second singular, we're still covered by the verb at the head of the chain, him, v'samachta, and you will rejoice. So note that when speaking or writing English, we need a fresh future time form for each sentence or each change of subject. So here we have, he will take, give, return, you will bless, rejoice. So we had to add in the you will there. But in Hebrew, it's sufficient to indicate the future time by the first verb in the series. Yikach, he will take. This fixes the time context for all the following verbs. Natan, shav, berachta, samachta. And then there's usually going to be some way of knowing when that chain comes to an end, and then which then breaks off the carrying forward of this time aspect there.
Why would that be perfective for this continuing action?
It's just the way the verb system works. Now, why the verb system works this way, that's a whole other matter that I don't know, and I'm not sure that is fully understood why it is this, why the Hebrews have it like this. But there is agreement that this is how the system is working, that you start with an imperfective, and then even though you have subsequent chain of perfectives, if they are a chain carrying on from that first one, they all take their aspect from that opening verb, and that's the way it is. Now, why back 3,500 years ago or whenever they figured out that that's the way it should be, I guess that's what grammarians go and do their PhD theses on and try and figure that out. And I don't know, and I don't think that really is fully understood why. It's amazing. So Hebrew's been around for so very, very long, and yet this is be one of the aspects where we're still learning a lot. Grammarians are still learning a lot about how Hebrew functions. And a lot of this has really only been within the last 20 years that there's been a lot of inquiry about how this all is working, and a growing understanding of at least how it is working, even if there isn't yet full understanding about why it's working, or why it is like this, but at least this is what it is doing. Okay, well, we'll break there. We'll pick up at 8:7. Now, if you look at the top of page 97, we have read Genesis 24, 1 to 10. So this will be your first bit of reading straight out of the Hebrew Bible. But it will be an exciting step for us next week that now we're finally ready to move on from the simplified versions to now read 10 whole verses of biblical narrative from the life of Abraham.